Do not adjust your radio dial. You are tuned in to the Mark Order Podcast. Join the Mark Order.
Well, hello, hello. It is Wednesday night, so you know what that means. It is time for another episode of the Mark Order Podcast. It is me, clearly not Kate. It's Ryan, joined as usual with buddy Joe. How you doing, Joe?
I'm doing well, Ryan. Thank you. I just hurried up and threw a Reese's Peanut Butter Cup in my mouth real quick.
What did you do?
Threw a Reese's Peanut Butter Cup in my mouth real quick. And the peanut butter cup was a little frozen, so I kind of had to, like, ingest it all at once, like a steak.
Now, the question becomes, how does your peanut butter cup last long enough to be frozen?
Discipline.
That's a terrible answer. It's a terrible answer.
Self-control.
Yeah, okay. If you're going to make things up...
You got grind, Ryan. You got to... about that life.
I think you're just weak. You're a coward. You're afraid to finish off those Reese's cups within a day.
To be honest, I just kind of forgot they were in my freezer.
I mean, they'll never make it to my freezer. They get brought in. They get eaten.
Mm-hmm.
Ta-da!
Well, enough about my candy talk. How are things in the sweet life of Ryan?
Not on a boat like Zach and Cody, but I'm doing well. I think that's what that show was about.
You probably don't want to talk about those kind of shows anymore. With a lot of the
that was never one of mine anyway. I just know it from like the jokes that came later. That was a little after my era, but it's good. We're good. I have actually... Talking about candy, I'm not going to eat it on stream. I have a bag of peanut butter M&Ms right next to me.
Ooh, so I had some of them last night.
They're so good.
Mm-hmm.
They've become my favorite for a while now. So yeah, we'll see. Nice. How's everything in Joe Land?
You know, things are going well. It's just been, when it's not work, being busy at work, it's being busy on the weekends with. No concerts or graduations of friends' kids and things like that.
I have a social life.
I don't choose this life. This life chooses me.
Hello, 1LT Colonel Photo. Hello, Big G. I'm just saying. They seem like not really problems. I did realize, though, that I can just start saying, like, how's Joe life? How's Joe family? How's Joe car? Like, I can just say Joe instead of your. I'm going to do that for now.
That sounds like
Joe opinion.
An awful dialect from some, like, California. No, like remember, like, the Californians on, like, SNL? And that skit?
The one where they constantly broke? Yes.
Yeah, it kind of feels like that would be kind of the accent or something that maybe, you know, that's how they pronounce your, or, you know, maybe be Joe or have Joe life.
Joe. What Joe mama up to?
Wow. You know, I was thinking, you know, since oftentimes it's just you and I here now, because, you know, the girl of this podcast chooses other things, and rightfully so sometimes. Does that make us kind of like the Rocksteady and Bebop of this podcast? I try to always find our dynamic of, no, we're not the two-man power group.
No. She does not get to be Shredder.
No one says she was Shredder. She could be Crane for all I care.
But if either way, she's not going to be in charge. If we're Rocksteady and Bebop, she's in charge of us. She could be Baxter Stockman.
That's fair.
She'll be very mad that she's not
Was there a female enemy to the Ghostbusters?
Ghostbusters? I'm talking Turtles.
No, it's, yeah, Turtles, sorry. Going on soon. I was trying to think of other things, but was there a female enemy in the Turtles?
I don't remember.
Yeah, like, I don't think there was a... I don't think that the...
Oh, the G has a suggestion, maybe.
Who's Key?
Key.
Hold on, looking up.
Kirai?
Okay, hold on.
Thank you for your suggestion and your assist, Big G.
I don't remember. I think...
As Ryan searches the group.
I think she only appears in, like, the later series. And they're just not canon for me. Yeah, she didn't start until 92, and that's after what I was watching.
Shredder had a daughter? Oh, I have so many questions.
I think that's her.
Yeah, that's what everyone's saying.
But that's like the not fun turtles. Like, the fun turtles were the 80s turtles. Where they would throw a trash can on a guy and just walk away.
Well, how about we talk about
I'm gonna say this. There was a Turtles movie in 2011. You got me going, I'm going. And it had the 80s turtles and like a couple of the like ones that came later. And they were considerably darker. And at one point, the 80s turtles are fighting a new enemy. I was watching it. I was at work at the time. And we had it on the TV. And they're like, we don't know what to do. We throw pizza and trash at it. What else can we do? Which is really funny to see the difference.
I don't remember this at all. I don't know.
Well, what can I say? Good evening, Kyle K. Well, you dropped the K, so good evening, Kyle.
Kyle.
Oh, well, so, tonight was a night of wrestling.
It was.
Let me pull it up. It started with the Blackpool Combat Club. Well, you're in Everett, Washington, I'll say that. So the home state of Darby, I believe. Right?
Darby, yes.
Nick Young. Nick Wayne. Sorry, Nick Wayne. I was thinking basketball. Nick Wayne. Don't ask. I wasn't thinking basketball, but for whatever reason, that's just Nick Wayne.
That too.
I know they say Swerve, but Swerve does not own it.
Everywhere he goes, it's his house.
That's true. Big G knew what I was talking about, by the way. Turtles Forever. See, Big G gets it. Yeah, because I heard him on a stream where they said, aren't you from Washington? He goes, no, I'm not. So, like, just saying. The man himself doesn't put himself from Washington. Is there anyone else?
An AEW? Not sure, off the top of my head. From the Seattle area.
I don't think so. Oh, well, there's the well, hold on.
I mean, Daniel's
there's from Aubrey.
Oh, yeah. Aubrey's from the Seattle area.
Yeah. By the way, Scott, you're saying good evening, gentlemen, and Ryan. There's only one other guy here, so it'd be gentleman.
No. I mean, I'm big enough to be two guys, I guess.
I don't think so. Tiny. Oh, I guess maybe he could have been referring to the chat, but I'm not gonna let him get away with that.
Probably not.
Okay. Let me actually get us into what we were doing. So we start off with the Blackpool Combat Club featuring Brian Danielson and John Moxley versus Jeff Cobb and Kyle Fletcher, who I believe technically were at least both members of the United Empire.
Oh, that's really close there, Ryan. You almost had something going there for a second.
I accidentally
moved
my hands. I believe if I'm technically correct, that's the
Wigging that.
Yes, so Moxley got attacked. I'm pretty sure as soon as he hopped over the guardrail into the wrestling.
Yep.
Say hi, Astrid. Hi, Astrid. Luckily, I don't have go watch. She does a bunch of stuff, so I'm gonna go everyone tell watch Asher stuff when you're done watching us. Anytime someone's got something in here, feel free to tell me, and I'll go tell you to watch it because Asher's really good. Sorry. Anyway, this was chaos personified. I feel like this is his entire match. It was kind of weird because Moxley was the face in peril, I felt like, for most of this, and Danielson was the hot tag, which, physically speaking, is not normally how that goes. Moxley's the big boy. He should be the hot tag. I'm not saying you have to be. I'm just saying most times. Of course, it ends with Blackpool Combat Club winning by Death Rider from Moxley on Fletcher because they weren't having Brian Danielson and John Moxley lose to Fletcher and a guy who's not full-time, the guy who's not actually in the company. I thought it was a really fun, crazy match. What'd you think?
Yeah, like you said, it was a good start for the crowd to have such a chaotic environment. And I think the chaos only amped up more with the continual playing of Danielson's music. Now, they've done that before in some other instances, you know, like Anarchy in the Arena and things like that. And I think having the music continuing to play just adds a different element to it. It just makes it a little bit more helter-skelter. So I like that part of it. I get why Danielson would kind of be, you know, helping save Moxley because it's in Washington, so he kind of the home state guy.
We didn't name him, did we?
No, I mean, he's from Aberdeen, so yeah.
Does count. I mean, when you're in the state, it counts because it's...
Yeah, so I think that, you know, that's probably why you have him be the, you know, the guy coming down to save Mox and help him out. But yeah, other than that, it was just a manic match, and the right team won, obviously. It was good to see Cobb in there. I like Cobb playing up the New Japan ties with him and Mox if they want to maybe hopefully get a title match down the line or something between them. But it was fun.
Big G pointing out, you know, they were in Washington because Danielson came out in his Seahawks trunks. I didn't put that together, but fair enough. I understood the point of this match to a little bit, but I still kind of don't because there wasn't a lot to it. But I guess this was just a way to get Danielson in a match. And actually, I don't know why I'm complaining. I am perfectly okay with matches not needing a story, like needing a whole lot around it. Sometimes you can have a match just to have a match on like a Dynamite. You don't want to do that on a pay-per-view, but on a Dynamite you can. And that's kind of what this felt like. Jeff Cobb's awesome. I'm happy where he is, so I'm not saying like, oh, I wish he'd come over, but just be cool to see more of him. I do know after the match, Takeshita ran down and started beating Moxley, and Cobb and Fletcher beat up Danielson. And then Claudio Castagnoli came out with like a crowbar or pry bar, however you want to say it. Didn't really do anything. He just came out of it and that scared everybody. Don't know where we're going with Claudio because he's got a whole lot of things going on. He seemed angry that Danielson took that match. But then again, some of it seemed to be angry at Eddie Kingston, who's now no longer. We'll get to that right after this. Seems like Eddie mad at Eddie Kingston, who's no longer involved.
I feel like for a minute there holding the crowbar, whatever you want to call it, it looked like he had that kind of like, they kind of teased the, you know, I'm almost thinking about, I felt like they were kind of teasing the almost, I might hit someone with this in the Blackpool Combat Club because I'm so frustrated. But I think it'll be interesting to see if there's that rift between Danielson and him, especially with Kingston out and the fact that they didn't get Claudio to fill that spot.
Correct. Yeah. So that story, like, yeah, you're right. I actually had the same thought when he came out. I'm like, but it would feel too soon but it is an interesting little hair, but in his interview, Kingston was the really what set him off. So we'll see. What I will say now, I forgot to bring it up in the beginning, but, Big G, it is Darby. 100% Darby's replacing Kingston. So Kingston, Eddie Kingston, in his New Japan Strong Resurgence pay-per-view match, I said that awfully, but in that match he had for New Japan Strong, looks like he hurt his knee. They built it into the story. They had the EVPs show them beating him up and the whole thing. But he posted on Instagram, like, him in a leg brace. It does look like he's legitimately done. Not done, but, you know, like, hurt for a while. That's as far as I got. I don't think anything else has come out about it. It really sucks. I mean, you know, he's a good wrestler, a lot of fun to watch, and I think he was gonna have a lot of fun with this story. Eddie Kingston versus the EVPs is a lot of fun. And he also just lost all his belts. So there was a story there of, like, he was gonna lose to the EVPs. Like, that's, I can almost guarantee that's the route they're going there. So he loses to the EVPs, and then he also lost all his belts. What happened? Now you kind of got to sit him. I mean, unfortunately, he's going to sit to the side. I don't know what it's like. When he comes back, he's going to be a face because it's Eddie Kingston coming back. It just really sucks. I hate injuries. Any thoughts from Joe Brain?
I would have been surprised if he wasn't hurt after seeing that spot of him whiplashing his leg against that guardrail. That was just sickening to watch that thing recoil off of that.
So I didn't actually see the spot. Was it that bad?
Yeah. I mean, okay. They didn't have a lot of room to work with. So when they suplexed him onto the table, his neck kind of folded a little bit, but, like, you see his leg just go over the top and just really quick went, bounced off the guardrail really quick. And just, like, you'll have to watch it. It's painful looking.
I have to watch it then. You tell me it's painful.
The fact that he was able to get in the ring and finish out the beatdown spot, I mean, a testament to how tough he is.
Yeah, yikes. So yeah, that's that, because that was, I think, addressed early on in the show too. I think that was addressed right after. So it sucks. No one's happy about that. We're all just very sad about that. We have Adam Copeland coming out to talk, I think. The reason I have the question is because he doesn't get there. He gets quickly jumped by Buddy Matthews and Brody King. They beat him up all the way down to the ring. Then Malachi comes strutting out like the big baddie that he is, because the boss comes last. They continue to beat him up. They take his wedding ring, which is odd. We'll get to that in a second. And then Kyle O'Reilly attempts to make the save. He gets his ass kicked too. Both of them are just laid out by the end. Is Malachi trying to marry Beth Phoenix?
I don't know how transition of marriage works. If you obtain the ring, do you obtain the marriage?
Well, isn't it like Lord of the Rings, whoever holds the ring?
I was really trying to avoid making that reference, but, you know.
Oh, not me. I'm leaning right into it.
One ring to rule them all, I guess.
I mean, I get it. It's like a family thing. Like, we're, you know, it's mind game. So I understand, like, you could do nothing.
I'm interested to see if they melt it down, if Malachi wears it as a necklace, what the personal, like, you know, this whole personal attack on their level is that they're trying to do with him, with Copeland.
Yeah, it's an interesting, I don't know what they're going to do, because Sketch was saying Zelina going to be really happy with him. I mean, yeah, he's trying to marry another woman. I think that's how the ring works. But it clearly is just all mind games. And then you have the Kyle O'Reilly toss in here, which I don't know where he fits perfectly in this.
I was surprised to see him still involved with this. So I kind of, same with you, I'm interested to see how his story kind of intertwines with this going forward.
Agreed. Like that's an interesting, wrinkle. I'm trying to think of a different way of saying that, but I just don't know what his place is. Will he, I don't think, obviously he's not joining House of Black. Would he turn bad because he's mad at Copeland because he wants a belt? But I just feel like it's too early to turn him bad. Like he still has that shine of like, you almost lost your career and you're back. It's going to take a little while, I think, before people are like, hey, we don't like you. Okay, so then commentary did the thing with the Eddie Kingston thing, which we talked about. FTR comes in and says, hey. Oh, then you go to the Elite and Okada called Dax Harwood a bitch. That was a big deal online, so don't want to miss it. The famed wrestling insult, a bitch. For any and all who have ever paid attention, in wrestling, bitch is a very bad insult. Don't ever say bitch, because when we get back and you have FTR saying like, we found someone, Dax calls Okada the Elite's bitch. Once again, bitch bad. Bitch bad, bitch good, bitch please. I mean, it is like the go-to word in wrestling.
Yeah, I feel like you have to say after an ellipsis of ... bitch. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I agree. And you have to say it with force, like ... bitch. Like it's just one. It's funny that wrestling has its work. I guess for so long it was like the only word wrestlers could say on TV to like get around censors, and especially with WWE when they were the only act in town and they were PG, you didn't have a lot of words. And even though some of these guys weren't in there, I think that trickled down to the rest of the wrestling world where like, if this is the word they're using up there to get the reaction, this is the word we're going to use. And I think it just has now ingrained itself in wrestling. I'd love to go, I'm not going to do this, but I would love to go see, like, when did bitch become the prevalent word in wrestling?
I don't know, but kudos for Jade Cargill for taking that word back and making it empowering when she was, that bitch. She owned it.
That bitch. Yeah, that's true. All right, we move on, and this will be the last one we talk about before we go to our commercial, just because I never know where to work these in. We have Christopher Daniels and Matt Sydal versus the EVPs, Matthew Nicholas Jackson, with Jack Perry on commentary, who was actually pretty decent on commentary. I actually thought he was, for someone who I don't think the mic is his strength, he did pretty good, and he was very angry at Shivani, which was funny, because Shivani is very anti what the EVPs are doing, which I'm perfectly okay with, because I think, and I'm going on a little very short, I promise, diatribe here. We hear in wrestling all the time, we need heel commentators. You need heel commentators. Which I don't agree with. I think we're trying for something that only works for a few people. Bobby the Brain was the greatest of all time, and everyone thinks they're going to be him, and they're just not. Corey Graves can be okay at it, and then at other times he struggles, but that's not always on him. Who else? There's a couple. Nigel is very good at being selectively heel. He's not heel with everyone. He's very selective.
You have, back in the day, probably had Ventura.
Yeah, Ventura, yeah, Jerry the King Lawler was heel. Until he wasn't. But he started as a heel commentator. But everyone thinks they're going to be Bobby the Brain. Yeah. And they're not. Where I'm going is, while all commentators naturally, except for those heel ones, go face, I like when you have overly passionate, again, you don't need a lot of them, but every now and then, overly passionate good guy commentator, because I don't think you get a lot of those either. For a lot of guys being like, you're an asshole to like the heels, because I think a lot of them just move on quickly. And Shivani's like fighting a good fight of being like, no, you're all jerks. I don't like you jerks.
Well, he does have
that called. And they're running out of you.
I mean, they did almost EVP trigger him.
Yeah, no, absolutely. He has a right, but I just think it's, I guess my point here is that not enough where most commentators are like, oh yeah, those, how could they? And then like the next minute they're like, all right, so the EVPs are fighting this fight. And whereas he continues this through line of like, screw you guys, I'm going home. This was actually a fairly fun match for, you know, Christopher Daniels is obviously a little step slower than he used to be, but he still can tell a story in the ring. I never thought they were going to win, but there was a couple of fun times where I'm like, what the hell are they doing? It ended on a Tony Khan driver. Any thoughts on the match? I'll get to the post-match in a second.
No, the match, like you said, it was what it was. I liked the idea of the Bucks taking out people who have been closest to them, whether it's, you know, Tony, whether it's Kenny, you know, Christopher Daniels was a longtime friend, obviously. I liked this whole storyline of them taking out all the people who they were, you know, friends with to help start the company. So that's been kind of a fun little narrative. You mentioned Perry on commentary. I thought that this plays to his strengths on the microphone, where being a heel, you don't have to say a lot. You can just say short little one-liners and be like kind of little quips and be kind of the a-hole, which he plays very well. And then I kind of played off at the end where he dumped the can of energy drink or whatever he was drinking on Tony's head. So that's really what I took away from this whole this match.
Yeah.
That and they're getting Reebok pumps.
You know, we'll talk about the after in a second. The goddamn Reebok pumps. I think it's hilarious that they're pumps. Is pumps like a thing again? Or is it they're just being fun with it?
It's never not been a thing.
No?
They've always been around still.
Yeah, but I didn't think they were like cool.
I mean, to me, they really haven't been cool since the early 90s when they first hit the scene. But they're still around. You know, John Cena made them popular for a while. Yeah.
Here's the question. As a shoe guy, and this is important because they're shoe guys. When was the coolest that the pumps ever were? I know the answer, but I'm wondering if you do.
When
were pumps at their absolute peak of coolness?
D. Brown slam dunk contest?
No. In the movie Robin Hood Men in Tights, when a chew stops to pump up his shoes. Can't beat that. You just can't beat it.
That's just kind of riffing off of the D. Brown moment.
I played by a young Dave Chappelle. D. Brown ripped off them.
I still have a timeline there. I still have a pair of Shaq Attack pumps.
I'm surprised you don't have 30 of them.
Yeah, I got rid of a couple of pairs of them.
I mean, like I said, I think it's funny they have the Bucks colors on them, which is a lot of fun. I mean, you know, they're sneaker guys, so good for them to get in their own sneakers. Do you think they'll sell well?
No. I mean, they kind of had their little collaboration with ASICS a while back, and you know, those kind of sat around and eventually went on clearance on websites. The pumps are hard to sell as is, so it's going to be a very, very niche market.
Do you think they're good looking as a shoe guy?
They're not bad. They're wild enough and kind of subtle where you can still wear them with other things. They're not in your face loud. So I'd wear them. Yes, exactly. Yeah.
You know, I'm not in your face loud.
I'm Ryan?
Subtle.
And Young Bucks, Reebok pumps, and then handshake emoji.
So then after the match, even though they got shoes that they want to promote, they're still not good guys. After the match, they fire Christopher Daniels. Now, here's the thing I don't understand. Now they say he'll get paid for 30 days. Lovely. One, he's clearly under two contracts. He's under his talent relations and he's under his wrestling. Do they fire him for both or just one? That is a little loophole they can use if they want to keep the story working. Two, just because they're EVPs with the authority within a show, I don't think hiring and firing should necessarily fall under that purview. What are your thoughts?
I agree. There are some HR things in play. It reminds me of, you know, the episodes of The Office where, you know, Michael Scott wants to always fire Toby for no apparent reason. Later on in the seasons, Andy wanted to fire Pete for dating Aaron, but didn't have a just business reason to fire the person. There's not really just cause to fire Daniels. Plus, the EVPs are two people. You also have Kenny and CK out there. Like, how can you not veto or, you know, nix the firing by a 2-2 vote?
Yeah. I mean, I think TK is, I just personally believe that hiring and firing is not an on-site decision. That's a office decision, and I don't think that translates. I think there's some issues here. I think he has just cause to push back. I think you're going to see him push back. And I think they're in trouble. I think they think they pulled the one up, and I think they're going to get themselves into some trouble, some legal action. I think someone should call Smart Mark, get him on the case, say, hey, we need to litigate this. He deserves to work there. So we'll see.
I do feel like they, I was expecting them to drop the, you know, we wish you the best in your future endeavors, but they didn't drop that line.
They didn't, and they should have. Now, Big G saying TK should have more authority as owner. He does. The way I understand it, by the way they have presented it, is that TK is the ultimate authority. However, since he is physically incapable of being at the shows, all on-site decisions are made by the EVPs. My argument is that a hiring and firing is not an on-site decision. That is a office decision at your headquarters back in Jacksonville.
Well, but what about the precedent set for when wrestlers get offered a contract in the ring after a match?
My argument is that Tony knew ahead of time and had decided that already in his office in Jacksonville.
You're making assumptions, and you can't make assumptions in the court of law.
I am not in a court of law. I am on a podcast, and I am saying that Tony Khan should be the only hiring and firing authority. The EVPs do not have that right. Even though Tony's not there, that still does not fall in their purview. They have overextended themselves. They are open to litigation. They will be sued, and this is likely cost them their EVP status.
So if I'm hearing you correctly, Mr. Ryan, you want me to suspend my belief on a wrestling podcast?
I am. Yeah, well, I'm not asking you to suspend your belief. I am saying that this even works within the story that I am telling in my own brain. This all works in the magical world of AEW. The Tony Khan could come back on and be like, you didn't have authority to do that. That doesn't fall under your rules when I'm not here. He's back. And better than ever. I believe that was the Eric Bischoff song from WWE. So that's what I'm saying. I am dealing solely in AEW wrestling world logic for a second, because I'm even still delineating what is and isn't EVP authority.
I haven't seen the bylaws of that.
That's true. I haven't seen. We'll never see the bylaws. They're not a publicly traded company. They don't have to show us anything.
Yeah, it's a personnel issue.
Well, unless we subpoena them, we'll have to get Smart Mark involved.
It would be great if you see Smart Mark walk by Daniels in the backstage segment and, like, hands him his card.
Just flicks it in. I mean, unfortunately, I don't think he's the greatest lawyer. We've seen him fail to read clauses and contracts before. So Danielson might want to look at a better lawyer. I don't know about a wrestling lawyer, but he may want to look at one. I know there's wrestling accountants and like CPA, but I don't know wrestling lawyers besides Smart Mark. No, Jesse, we are not talking about me. We're talking about the EVPs firing Christopher Daniels. How dare you, Jesse?
Hi, Jesse.
How dare you? I was going to say hi. Now I'm not. How rude.
All right. Scott George and Big G are saying hello instead, so they win.
Piffle. Piffle. Actually, we're going to do one more segment, and then we'll go to our commercial, which is that Toni Storm is interviewed backstage. And she just goes, she's like, she's in her, her maternal instincts are kicked in, and her ovaries need to be listened to. As amazing as she is, and I don't want to downplay how great she is, I really think we need to give some credit to Mariah May's facial acting. I even tweeted it. Her facial acting is hilarious. She's constantly reacting to whatever Toni says, and it's spot on. People need to watch her and go like, oh, I should do this too. Like this kind of stuff. Maybe not as exaggerated, but like you can tell a story with just your face, and it's great. I just have thoughts. I don't know if you have any thoughts on that.
No, it's another solid, quick delivery Toni Storm promo where it's, you know, it's funny, it's witty. She was going to take Harley's womb to the woodshed.
God, I forgot that line.
And then the leave her like what, something about being in Vegas blacked out with a butt in your face or something. But the fact that she can remember all these lines and it's beautiful.
Her brain is fascinating. Because I know RJ has influence, but a lot of this is her. Most of this is her, and her brain is just fascinating. All right, so we're going to do our quick commercial break because I have nowhere else to put it. And we'll be back. We're part of the Shining Wizards Network. We want to highlight some other shows on the Shining Wizards Network. We think that's cool because they're cool shows, and you should listen to them when you're not listening to us, but listen to us first because we're the best. So this is where I put over the overlay, so just in case you're confused. And I turn off the volume because otherwise you're not going to hear it. And I hit play.
Every one of you for tuning in every Monday night to listen to The Shining Wizards. If you'd like to continue to support us outside of listening, we've got a few ways for you to do that. If you shop at Amazon, go over to amazon.shiningwizards.com, do your shopping as usual, and when you make your purchase, a little bit of that purchase price will go back to support the show. If you like to wear t-shirts, merch.shiningwizards.com will take you to our Pro Wrestling Tees store, where we've got over a dozen great designs from over 11 years of professional wrestling podcasting. You can become a Patreon supporter at patreon.com/wizardspodcast, where each and every week we call out your name as one of our show producers, and the more you support us, the more things that you're entitled to receive, and believe me, they are fantastic. If you can't support us monetarily, if you don't shop at Amazon, that's absolutely fine. Continue to listen to us wherever you listen to us on the World Wide Web, and make sure you like, rate, review, subscribe, do all that good stuff. It doesn't cost you anything, helps us out, and we can continue to bring you the love fest that is The Shining Wizards.
What's up, folks? It's your boy, the Impact Player, Mr. Philly Ray, inviting all of you to check out the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast. Join us as we cover all things current in the world of pro wrestling, as well as paying homage to the old school, the squared circle. So listen in and find out why we are the recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment broadcasting. Find us on all social media platforms and anywhere you get your podcast from. And as always, we are the proudest members of the Shining Wizards Network and Rant Entertainment Media.
Are you tired of being lied to every day by the mainstream media?
Do you want to know what's really going on in the world?
Do you want to make up your own mind about things and not be told what to think or say?
Then listen to Inconclusive Breakdown, a weekly anti-PC look at the world of entertainment and current events brought to you without censorship or filters.
You can find us everywhere you listen to podcasts, BitChute, and on ShiningWizardsNetwork.com.
And also, we're a proud member of the Shining Wizards Network.
Got 30 minutes to kill?
Come check out 30 Screams or Less, where we review a horror movie in 30 minutes or less. We cover new movies and old ones, too.
We'll give our honest thoughts on the movie, good or shit, as well as a rating of each one that we watch.
New episodes weekly, available on the Shining Wizards Network and wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
I'm Steve.
And I'm Corey.
Come check us out at 30 Screams or Less.
G'day guys, my name is Thomas, one half of the Brocast podcast. With our podcast, we go back and watch wrestling events from WWE, WWF, WCW, ECW, AEW, and many other wrestling promotions. You can check us out on Twitter at The Brocast, that's THEBROKAST, and you can also download all episodes on Apple Podcasts, Castbox, Castro, and many other podcast apps.
You like your music heavy? Then check out Radioactive Metal on the Shining Wizards Network. For over 16 years now, Radioactive Metal has been one of the longest running podcasts. Over the years, we've interviewed some legendary metal acts, had some awesome discussions, and cranked a hell of a lot of tunes. So join your cool Uncle Snowy and his co-host Aaron for the audio mosh pit that is Radioactive Metal here on the Shining Wizards Network.
Well, the action is underway!
What's up, everyone? When on the Shining Wizards Network, be sure to check out Wrestling Night in Canada. If we're not recording another kick-ass podcast,
or playing in punk bands,
or recording kick-ass heavy metal albums,
then we're sitting back, we're grabbing a couple brews, and going over everything to do in the world of pro wrestling.
Because we're from Winnipeg, you idiots.
The Mark Order Podcast is the only show you need if you're looking for dedicated coverage of everything AEW on the Shining Wizards Network. Join us live on YouTube every Wednesday night at 10:15 p.m. Eastern after Dynamite to chat along with the show. If you can't join us live, listen to us on your favorite podcast platform. Follow us on all social channels at Mark Order Pod and use the hashtag #JoinTheMarkOrder. Because if you don't find us,
we will find you.
I'm Kevin Rogue.
I'm Al Day.
And we're a couple of down under pounders that co-host Rogue Day Dots, an action figure collecting podcast where we talk about, well, just about anything that tickles our fancy at any given moment.
We're grumpy old men, and sometimes people get on our nerves. And when you get on our nerves, guess what? You get off the lawn.
Get off my lawn, asshole! We also go on a little bit of a mission. We go back and we're grading every wrestling figure line that's out there. I'm talking LJNs. I'm talking Jax. I'm talking Hasbros. Who doesn't like a little Hulkaplex? It's a Gorilla Brain Wrestling podcast production found on the Shining Wizards Network.
I'm Duke Bags.
Kevin Rowe.
And together we are the co-hosts of your Duke Rowe. If you want to hear about some terrible wrestling shows, we got you covered.
Well, we talk about good ones, too.
We're currently talking about the death of WCW.
I know what we're fucking talking about! Sometimes we get guest spots, like from the Taskmaster. I like to listen to the Year of Duke and Rogue podcast. They're funny guys. I like when they talk about the Nards plows. I like Narch Plows, that's a good move, and I like the Dungeon of Doom. You know, sometimes I call my butt the Dungeon of Doom. Thanks, guys.
Yeah. Oklahoma.
Let me tell you a little bit about my favorite wrestling podcast. All right. It's a podcast for two men. Two men, Duke Banks, Kevin Rowe. They talk about professional wrestling. It's a man's sport. All right, and who better to talk about a man's sport than Duke? Oklahoma.
Once in a while, Vince Russo stops by.
Oh, you piece of shit! If you're not listening to the
hear Duke and Rogue podcast in the back with the boys? Piece of shit, I don't know what you're doing.
You got a slide one in there?
You're a man. You're a man. You're talking about something only a man can do. You're talking about slide one in there. Bro, take the time to slide one in there. All right, bro, you piece of shit. Slide one in there.
A Gorilla Brain Wrestling podcast production that you can find on the Shining Wizards Network.
And we are back from our lovely commercials.
We just listened to some cool commercials, but maybe we're saying, guys, you're the coolest. We want to support you. Well, how do you do that? Just give me money. I could set up a P.O. box. You could literally just put cash in mail and send it to me. Probably the best way to go about it. But if you're a little sketched out by that, I can work on some other money laundering schemes if you want to get into that. But if you're totally against all that, what I would say to do is go to our Pro Wrestling Tees store, prowrestlingtees.com/markorderpod. If you don't want to type that in because you're lazy like me, go to any of our socials at markorderpod. We have a link tree in our socials that leads you here. We have 4 designs. I always don't have great description here. I'm not much of a shirt salesman. They're just cool. So whichever one you like.
Well, you have the big chest logo. You have the stacked words, or you have the double-sided front breast pocket logo and the big giant logo on the back of that one.
There you go. Joe's a much better salesman. So buy one of those 4, or buy all 4, buy 8, buy 16, buy 32. By 64.
I own one.
Yeah, I don't own one.
I'm very proud of my chase.
I really wish, I'm gonna be honest with you, I wish I had bought the gray variant. I wasn't thinking.
I will wear it proudly on Collision on June 8th.
Yeah, so go buy one of our shirts from the Pro Wrestling Tees Mark Order Pod there. Okay. Speaking real quick before we get back in the show of money. Here comes the real quick. Actually, I want to get into money, but Jesse, explain this. Am I missing something here? It was like person turquoise wizard wand, person turquoise wizard wand. I don't know. Jesse, explain that. Oh, I guess there are emojis that I can't see in our chat. Fair enough. Weird that I can see some but not others. That's weird. Anyway, fair enough. We're talking about money because pay us, but aside from money, Playful Select reported today, and usually I wait, but it's been out long enough that people have reported that no deal has actually been made between AEW and WWE yet. However, the exclusivity runs through the summer. It does feel like there's a little bit at play for see what happens with the NBA. I think WBD is probably waiting as long as humanly possible to see what they're working with the NBA. Any thoughts on these crazy negotiations?
No, I think you're right. And I think if that just sorted out, I think the best time to announce it would be around the all-in time or shortly after. I think that'd be a really, kind of in the summer-ish time. It's one of the biggest shows they'll have. I think there'll be a lot of momentum around that time. So I think that makes sense to maybe announce it if they can.
Yeah, that's when I would do it. But, I don't think... It's weird because I see people trying to frame this every which way. Well, if they don't sign the NBA, they'll have all this money. That's good. Not all that money's going to AEW. So they'll pay what they pay for AEW. Well, if they don't have the NBA, they may just decide to get out of the live stuff and that's it. If you go watch Listen Your Boy with, or The Hump, I think it's called now, with Sean. I don't want to steal people's words. Sean with Jimmy Van, they cover this, and it's where I'm getting some of where they had the ideas of like, you still have hockey. You still have March Madness. They may make a play for baseball. Like, they're not getting completely out of line games, so that's not realistic either. And just, and even if they sign the NBA, it doesn't mean it's bad for AEW. They may be making a bigger play into live. So what I'm basically saying is, what we don't know, what we don't know. I think if AEW, I think if they can become, if AEW and Warner can agree to a good deal, number, they'll do a deal, regardless of what happens with the NBA. Because there is a number at which it works for Warner. Whether they have the, now, do I think having a few extra, do I think losing the NBA and having a few extra dollars and also losing your biggest live property might entice you to make sure you have more live programming? Maybe, but it's hard to tell. So I just, that was, we were talking money and paying. So I figured let's, you know, do that. All right. So we're back from commercial. Malachi Black cut a promo on Copeland's wedding ring, saying it was what was holding Copeland back, and he accepts the barbed wire cage match under the condition that when Malachi Black wins, Adam bends the knee to the House of Black. I still don't get it. I'm going to be honest. This is...
So having a wife is holding him back. So when he loses, does he have to pose to Malachi in the House of Black? If he's on his knee?
He's bending on one knee.
Yeah.
There'd be a ring.
I want a banner to come down, unfurl, and be like, he said yes.
I think... I think we've discovered the whole thing here. Malachi wants to be married to Copeland. And so he took the ring because that's possession is 9/10 of the law. And now he's going to force Copeland to get on one knee and propose to him.
Mm-hmm.
So
it sounds like Double or Nothing is really Copeland's judgment day.
Oh, Joe, I'm so proud. I am so proud. I'm a proud papa.
Yeah.
We could end it there and I'd be thrilled. We move on from that weird promo to Hook versus Sebastian Wolf. So the Hook brought us back.
Can we call spots? I have three spots.
Yeah.
Some flips, some forearm shots, and the red rum.
Red rum. Red rum. Red room. Red room. Over there. Simpsons quote. It's not a Beth Phoenix on a pole match, George. It's who gets to marry Adam.
I don't know. I kind of like the other one.
Hook grabs the mic. He's better in the pre-tape promos than he is live, I've learned, which is fine. I mean, guess what? That's the beauty of wrestling. You can do both. Calls out Jericho on his learning tree. Entered Jericho saying, I am the learning tree with Big Bill. Crowd chants, please retire. And he says he understands they want him to retire so he can go into all the Hall of Fames, but it's not time yet, which I know people's feelings on Jericho, but that was a really good response to that. I don't care what anyone says. Like, that was well played. Then Hook starts to say something to Jericho and just bops him on the head with the mic. And I literally say bops because I'm pretty sure that's what Taz said. He said either boops or bops, bopped him on the head. It looked really awkward, to be quite honest. And then Big Bill grabs him as he's attacking him, but out comes Shibata. And Shibata runs them off. Are you hooked?
No, I feel like this is rinse repeat of Hook gets in trouble with some people, and then he gets a random tag team partner to help even the odds. And Shibata is his random tag team partner. We've seen Hook with Orange. We've seen Hook with Danhausen. It just seemed like we keep doing the same thing. But the best part for me was the bonk of the microphone when he just says, you know what sounds good to me? And then just apparently, you know, cut him open.
It was a bonk or a bop or I don't know. Just a beep. So I have we'll get to I'm one for keeping things together. So you do have Hook and Shibata later on do a little interviewee. Gets a little awkward because between the two of them, because Hook's like, I'll fight anyone who keeps me from Jericho. And Shibata's like, well, I want Jericho. And Hook's like, well, if I have to, I'll fight you. I think it's stupid. It's like, why can't you just both fight him? However, Samoa Joe walks in. This is the cool part. And Joe basically runs down Hook being like, I thought you were going to be someone. I thought you were a threat. You're no one. You're nothing. I thought you two were good, but you're dealing with Jericho stuff. Like, what is this BS? And he even says it to Shibata. And then as Joe walks away, Shibata's translator says that Joe is too big to be wearing a floral shirt. Any thoughts on that interview?
My one takeaway from that backstage interview and then with Joe coming in is I think Samoa Joe felt like the real learning tree. He was trying to share his pearls of wisdom with Hook, telling him, like, Jericho has turned you guys against each other. He's doing everything that he wants you to do. Focus on the task at hand. Like, it felt like he was giving them the advice that a mentor would.
That is a good point. So Joe is the real Joe was the learning tree all along.
He's the roots. He's the foundation.
Joe is a learning plant. Joe is a learning redwood.
Yeah, he called Big Bill Redwood.
Is that what he called Big Bill?
That's what Jericho calls him.
I didn't know that. I think I tune out. Fine. Well, Joe will chop Big Bill down. Right off his knees. Because we're going to get a Joe-Jericho match at some point. Because Jericho is going to be mad that Joe is interfering in the whole thing. I see that coming a mile away. We then have Shane Strickland. Swerve cuts a promo backstage, basically be like, I'm going to beat you all. I'm going to end Mogul Embassy. You're done. And then it was kind of like a cool camera shot where like they followed him as he began to walk towards the entranceway, which I'm going to say ever since WWE picked it up, if AEW wants to match them, I'm all for that because cool camera shots are cool camera shots. You had Brian Cage versus Swerve Strickland. This was more back and forth than I thought it would be. And I mean that in favoring Swerve. I thought Swerve, they were going to, don't you pull out your headphones when listening to me, Joe. Don't you do it. Don't you do it. I thought they were going to have Swerve just get like crushed for most of this and kind of like only come back at the end. But he actually had a fairly back and forth match with Brian Cage. There was an awkward attempt at a stomp at one point that powerbomb into a stomp that just did not land. I don't usually call out stuff like that, but it was just kind of like it was right before they it was right before a pinfall attempt that Swerve just didn't stick with. So I got to give him credit for like adjusting. But what did you think of the match?
It wasn't exactly what I expected it to be. I thought maybe it would be a little bit more of a vicious attack or a vicious side of Brian Cage, that he would really go on the offensive. And I didn't see that. I saw a typical Brian Cage match. It didn't feel like as personal as I thought it should have based on the promo he cut, you know, last week about Swerve using them and leaving him and the Mogul Embassy behind. I thought maybe it'd be a little bit more violent and personal, but apparently we got the violence after the match, so.
Yeah, well, violence is forever. That was a group in TNA? Maybe? I don't know. I'm bad with that. You're right there. There was no, until the end, there was no real, like, attempt to destroy Cage. Like, there was no attempt to like end his or vice versa. Like, both of them kind of, it was a fairly straightforward match. Now, Brian Cage, when he's with some good wrestlers, can put on some really good matches. I mean, no, that's not a knock on him saying he can't with others, but like some wrestlers just click better with him than others.
Mm-hmm. Like, that's, I would have loved early on a match where he caught Swerve when Swerve was doing the Topicia coming to the ropes, and like he caught his head and like had him hoisted up for like a suplex for a minute. I would have liked if you were suplexed him, like dropped him on the guardrail or something, do something, but then Swerve quickly got out of it.
Yeah, that would have been, but it was, like I said, it was overall fairly good match. It's the end that things get crazy. Swerve begins to just try to destroy Brian Cage's arm, or shoulder, whatever you want to call it, and he starts hitting it with a chair, and he puts a chair under it, and then he's going to hit it with a chair, which, I'm going to be honest, it's like a concerto. I never understood why that is so much worse than just doing it against the mat. Yeah, I know the chair's a harder surface, but not that much. Like, but either way, he was going to destroy him, but then comes out Christian Cage with Mother Wayne. I think we all saw this coming as Swerve was dead set on Christian and not looking away. I think anyone who's ever watched more than 5 seconds of wrestling was like, well, Nick is going to come in and hurt him from behind. Sure enough, Nick slides in, gets the low blow. They bring him to the ropes. Christian is outside the ring. Christian goes like, hey, you beat up my son, Nick Wayne, in his gym just a few miles from here last year, which is a really cool callback. I'm so glad they're not letting that die in. It's actually cool that they're in the area. Makes the whole thing. Well, now I'm going to go after you. And he shows a picture of Swerve's family. And he goes, how's your daughter feel about you being an absentee father? Then he rubs the picture on Swerve's head, which is bleeding, and gets blood all over it. And he said, tonight I took your blood. In 2 weeks, I'm taking your title. The man, Swerve went into a man's house and the kid was in a crib. And you think a picture is what the threatening part is? I don't know. What's your thoughts, Joe?
As soon as Christian came out and it was just him and Mother Wang, I'm like, okay, we all know this, the trope of you only see two of them, where are the other two? And Swerve staying there with a chair in his hand in the middle of the ring, staring at Christian. And I thought, as soon as he saw those two, I thought immediately he would turn around and just swing the chair because he knew it was coming. But nope, second week in a row, he fell for it again. And I'm just like, no, don't do that again, Swerve. I get you're a face, but come on.
Yeah, it was. What are you doing? Like, what? No one should fall for that. I would have been okay had he fooled it and then still somehow lost. Like, had he been just a numbers game got to him or something happened. Like, I would have been better okay with that than like falling for the very simple trick that has happened in wrestling. They just don't learn. They never learn. Then we go into segments we covered, and then we go into the Harley Cameron versus Tony Storm match.
Ooh, hold on, let me get Tony Storm.
I love it. Gotta stay in it now. You're not allowed to leave until the segment's over. This was pretty much, I think there was a few moments where Harley had some offense. I think she hit like a lariat or something. But this was pretty much just Tony Storm destruction. Harley Cameron is amazing in terms of character, and she's not terrible in the ring, but like this isn't what she's here for. She's not here to put on a classic with Tony. She is a funny villain, and she'll be a funny face if they ever want her to go that way. But this served the purpose of continuing a story and having Serena watch. I don't know what song Harley came out to, Big G. I'm not familiar with it. I think it's just the Outcast song. And Serena Deeb did not come down to the ring or assault Tony Storm again. She just kind of looked on with her flag in her hand at the top of the ring. Timeless Joey. Sorry, I just have to go with the theme. What did you think?
Well, darling, I thought Harley played her role well. And that, no, her moveset fits her character. So, yeah, she's not going to chain wrestle you to death, but she's going to kick you and do very simple yet aggressive moves. I love her being so vocal in the ring. It fits her character. She sells well. So I think it'd be another good outing by her, even though it was a predictable finish.
All right. I did not expect Darlin to come out.
Well, I had to be in the Tony. No,
you did well, and you're right. It was a good match. Predictable, but good.
I mentioned last week. I think when I was talking to Kate, I didn't realize Outkast were still a thing. So when she came out to that music last week, and she wrestled Mariah, I'm like, why are we still using this Outkast music?
They're kind of not, because she's clear. It's just the two of them. I think they'd be better off.
Oh, you
going back to the going what?
You didn't sing just the two of us. I really thought you were going to.
I wrote that.
I've heard that before.
I think they'd be better off going back to her gimmick from QT TV, where she comes out singing. It was so annoying,
mm-hmm.
in the right way. Because she's someone who clearly can sing, but when you sing obnoxiously, it just works.
Yeah.
I think she needs to. That would be how I change it. I would have her come out to singing again, the old QT TV gimmick. But who am I? I'm just a poor boy from a poor family.
I thought you were gonna say you're just a girl in the world.
I'm just a girl. So. I could go off on a tangent on something. And I won't. Do you consider that pop punk?
I consider it. Well, that album?
That song.
I mean, I would consider it punk.
Is ska pop punk?
It's related.
Okay.
This guy is a form of punk, and pop. Okay. I feel like the pop punk is based on, it could be based on style, but it's also just based on whether or not things get mainstream or not.
Okay, because a little behind the Ryan Curtain, I have a playlist for the gym that would absolutely drive Kate wild, and it's a pop punk playlist. I didn't make it; I just saw it and I put it on, and that song's on there. There's some ska on there. That comes on, and Real Big Fish comes on, sell out with me some. I'm not singing along because I'm at a gym, but I'm all for it. But it just feels like that's not what I expected in my pop punk.
Yeah, I mean, I enjoy some pop punk. I enjoy emo punk. I enjoy all that stuff.
So tell me what you thought about when you were gone and so alone. There's some songs on there that I think, even if I wasn't a huge fan of all of them, they just bring me back to when I heard them when I was younger.
Yeah, it's all usually around high school / early college years for me.
It's definitely high school for me and the girls I was into.
I can tell you that I know a few of my concerts left on my list to go to this summer involve Taking Back Sunday, Hawthorne Heights, Yellow Card. Something Corporate.
Hawthorne Heights does. No, Hawthorne Heights does too, and so does Yellow Card. Who was the last one?
Something Corporate.
They popped up too. You can be my punk rock prince and be your garage band. Yep. Oh. So, yeah, they all pop up on it, which I was expecting those. It's when you hear a random No Doubt or Scott. I'm like, this, again, not complaining. Less than Jake pops on, I'm singing it. But
did my boss tones.
Yeah. Or Offspring. I think maybe they are pop punk, but there's generations of pop punk, and that's not the generation I expected to be.
Yeah. A lot of pop punk I feel is early 2000s.
Yeah, that's where I was expecting it.
And like No Doubt, Offspring, all that stuff, that's, and Real Big Fish, I feel very 94 to 98.
Jesse, Scott came before Reggae. Just saying.
You act like you know history about things.
I know that from a gaming YouTube. So that's not something I knew offhand. Well, I knew it offhand, but only because they made a big deal out of it. Okay, so I had to go on my little tangent. We had some time. Figured, why not? We now run into Will Ospreay and Roderick Strong have their face-to-face. Ospreay says he doesn't respect Strong. Strong says he doesn't. Roddy doesn't respect Ospreay. Ospreay doesn't respect Roddy. Blah, 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 blah. They talk about the Tiger Driver 91. It's a cool face-to-face, but I don't think much comes of it. Any thoughts?
I think this has one of the potentials to maybe steal the show between these two at Double or Nothing. It's one of the matches I'm really looking forward to seeing. I like the fact that they weaved in more of a personal element to this. The whole, no, obviously disrespect, but like, no, their history together in other promotions and how they've interacted with one another on the road in different places. I think that was nice to make it a little bit more personal. And then from a production standpoint, you were talking about the camera stuff with Swerve. I like the moving camera instead of just having one static position going from side to side. But depending on who you're speaking, I like that little variation.
Yeah, that stuff is cool. And Jesse, I normally wouldn't come at you so hard, but you know, you started out by coming at me, so we're burning tonight.
That's a lot coming. A lot coming.
I like good recharge. I like any innovation like that where they try something new. Because even if it doesn't work, at least you try. Like, you'll never know until you try. We then go to the contract signing between Mercedes Moné, said like money, and Willow Nightingale. Because if you didn't know, Moné, money, there's a nice play on there. She doesn't ever make that clear.
No physicality could ever happen at a contract signing.
No. Legitimately, I thought we were going to have one of the few that didn't. So I was like, holy shit. I was legitimately surprised. I actually really enjoyed this. I think this is one of the best promos Mercedes has given since she's been there because she got to be a little bit of the heel self that she's much better at. She's much better at being cocky. I mean, because even her face is cocky. So when she's able to lean into that a little bit more, she's just better at it. She basically says, like, Willow said something about, like, this title is my legacy. Mercedes is like, legacy? When you were in training in 2015, I was in Brooklyn breaking barriers and like changing the world. And basically insults Willow and says, like, you're going to lose. And Willow had a great line. Willow came back with, the last time we met, I walked out champion and you didn't walk out at all. Which is just killer. And then Mercedes attacks Willow. And Willow power bombs her through the table, which was just excellent. Let me read a couple comments. Well, this is, and I'll read Scott's in a second after your opinion. I don't know if I think she was faced because people loved her, but they know what her character should be. So she was never fully like rah rah. She's going that. She's going more heel. Joe, thoughts on a violent contract signing?
You know, Willow has knocked it out of the park each week she's been delivering promos. And this one was no different, especially with that closing line, like you said, about the walking out. That beautiful. Mercedes, I agree with you again. Like, this was her best promo that she's done in AEW, I felt like, because it felt more authentic to her character, and it was a nice, you know, continuing the contrast of how she and Willard are so different, whether it's, the way that she is the face outside the company representing, you know, AEW at events. Willow is the face of the company inside the ring. I like the fact that, you know, Willow is talking about how much focus and pride she has on the TBS title and what it means and the legacy to her and the network for the history of wrestling. Meanwhile, Mercedes is kind of saying, you know, this title win is just another notch on my belt. While it's everything to you, it's just another, you know, stepping stone or piece that I can add to my resume. So just the sparring differences between the two, it's been fun to watch play out.
Yeah. Scott has a good point here. Willow could powerbomb Ananda and not get booed. Yeah, truly, if you want someone to get booed, put them against Willow. Like, that is probably your best bet, at least right now. Scott, I'm going to address your Mercedes as a bust so far, shouldn't win the title. I think this is I get what you're saying. I don't want to say it's necessarily wrong. A lot of people have been down on her because her promos have, this to me was her best promo, and it's kind of felt like, what are we doing? I think they brought her back when they did because they wanted to bring her in Boston. She clearly wasn't ready to wrestle. And so then you're buying time. I think it's still too early to call her a bust because she hasn't had her first match yet. I think after Double or Nothing, when she's able to do the thing that people actually enjoy her doing, and she's able to fully be a full character, because right now she's a half character. When she's able to be a full character, I think then we can make the comparison. I don't think she's a terrible promo. I think she's a she's never been a great promo. She's not the best. I'm not going to sit here and pretend she's the best. I think she's much better when she's full on heel. And I think she's much better when she's short promo and a lot of matches. Well, she's not been able to do matches, so they've had to put her on TV through longer promos. So they're using her the best way they could until she was cleared to wrestle, which is not how she's best used. I don't know if you have any thoughts on that.
No, I agree. I think some of her promos were never great in WWE. They're still kind of felt forced or a little bit too scripted for me. And we were talking earlier about Jack Perry, how he felt more natural or did better on commentary as a heel by saying less and being more snarky. And that's what Mercedes excels at. So, like you said, I think her having this leaning more heel now, she can, you know, get those like one-liners in on people that she's facing.
So a couple of things. Big G saying, I really wish they didn't have her first match be a title match. I get your feeling on that. But she is Mercedes.
Yeah.
So she was going to get there one way or another. Like, I honestly do understand that, but she's Mercedes. Like, they want her to feel that big. And when she's healthy, she is. Like, regardless of what you say, she is like, the biggest.
We'll find out if she's a bust or not. I mean, put the belt on her and let her go with it
regularly,
and let her have other programs with other, you know, top talent in the division. Then you'll see, you know, for sure. Like, then you'll see if she's worth the money that and the big contract and everything else.
Yeah. Scott saying her entrance needs to change too. She's not Sasha anymore, not credible. I mean, in fairness, Bryan Danielson's barely changed.
Copeland's
didn't change at all. Where were she? Jesse saying she has that NXT cadence. She definitely does have that. She never lost that. The WWE NXT, like, this is how you speak cadence. But again, for her, she is. She's a wrestler. She's a lot of these wrestlers who she's best when she's wrestling and when she's kicking. You know, there's also just some wrestlers who are not great at being these faces, and they need to just be heels. We've seen that with some of the best that have ever done it. I hate him as a person, but I'm going to say it. Ric Flair was a terrible face. He only ever really worked as a heel. Shawn Michaels struggled as a face. He worked later when he got old, but early on, he didn't pull it off nearly that well. The Rock was struggling as a face. Like, there's just some people that they're just so much better set for heel, and she's one of them. It doesn't mean her promos are instantly going to be worlds better, but I do want to see what it's like when she's having regular matches and shorter promos, and she's able to be a cocky heel who's out winning matches. Right now, she's a cocky heel who's doing nothing. It's like, what are we doing? And Big G's fair. Just doesn't want to have Will to have a short reign. Fair. But if you're going to lose to anyone, Mercedes isn't a bad person to lose to. We then go to our main event, which is Dax Harwood, bitch, versus I can never say Okada's first name.
Kazuka
Okada, bitch, for the AEW Continental Championship. It is fought under eight Continental Championship rules, which means no one's allowed to retire. I love that that's like official rules. This is what you would probably expect. Okada did a beautiful dropkick. He did a DDT off the barricade at some point. Hold on. Big G supported me. Flair never worked his face like Ricky Steamboat never works. It just how it is. Dax, you know, with his more harder hitting style of wrestling, he's a little more like technical, not technical. He's more of a grappler, a brawling, grappling style kind of guy, like old school. Tried for the sharpshooter a couple times. I think he got it once, but didn't work. Okada eventually hits the Rainmaker and retains the belt. Thoughts?
First thought was, if it's under Continental rules or Continental Championship rules, Okada is friends with the EVPs. They could change the rules whenever they want to. Right?
Yeah, I think... Again, we're getting into what do they actually have. Is that an office rule or is that an arena rule? Do they have the office powers or just the arena powers? We don't know. I need a man. You know what? I'm going to reach out to RJ City. I'm going to say you have a new show, which we'll talk about after everything. We'll get to that real quick because we have a few minutes. You have a new show. Go investigate. Find out who has what power. I need to know. I'm a baby girl because well, I need to know.
Speaking of that new show with him and Renee, I like the fact that they tossed to Renee kind of on the side of the ramp like a sideline reporter. Another new different little wrinkle they threw in tonight for production. Kind of doing what you would do coming out of like a timeout or something at a football or basketball game, and she's talking about the athlete coming out of the tunnel. That was kind of a fun little thing. The match was what I thought it would be. It had a decent amount of time, but I don't know if it had enough time for them to fully have a banger of a match due to the storyline. A couple of spots that kind of stuck out to me are when Dax whips Okada and then he drops his head to do a backdrop and he drops it too soon and you just see him, he knows he dropped it too soon, he's like shit, like, and then Okada takes him and throws him into the ring post. That was one spot that caught my attention. The other thing I really recalled and learned from this match was no one should ever sit in the folding chair that security sits in by the barrier, because nothing ever good happens to people who sit in those chairs. People get kicked or drop kicked or a body thrown at them. So that was another thing I learned. And then I think the other spot that crossed my mind was when they're locking arms, almost like making like a strap match where they're just like holding on to each other and then chopping each other and beating the crap out of each other. I think that kind of played to both of their strengths since they're both pretty hard-hitting people.
Yeah, agreed. Okada is shockingly hard hitting. I know he's a big guy, so like, it shouldn't be shocking. But like, he's so good at everything that you almost don't think he would be that hard hitting, but he is. So you're right.
I like how people sell the Rainmaker and everything else. Like when people just over rotate into a complete flip. To really highlight how much force he has with it.
Yeah. You know what you're You're right. I like when the people can go crazy with it. Not everyone physically capable of doing that, but it is fun when it gets done. Some guys also sell it well by just how hard they make it look like they got. They don't necessarily do the rotation,
yeah,
but they go down like a ton of bricks.
Yeah, it looks like they got planted into the dirt. It's just like,
yes. Yeah. It's also the way he delivers it too. I know we're fanboying here for a second, but that's the whole point of this podcast. You know, like he has a good follow through.
Mm-hmm.
I hate to compare other moves, but we will. When Hangman does the Buckshot Lariat, he does a really nice follow through. When like Logan Paul does it, he doesn't have the follow through. He does a great off the rope spin, but his clothesline looks like it has no impact. And to me, the move is all in the impact, like how it looks when your arm hits you. And Okada nails it on the Rainmaker. Like he looks like he kills you. No, Jesse, the force will be with you always.
And with you.
Thank you. Oh, so after that, I was like, was that it? I'm like, no, after the match, there is a post-match beatdown when the EVPs come out and start beating up Dax and start beating up Dax. And then Cash and Danielson come out, but they're outnumbered, so they're getting beat up. Well, if you thought that on a large overrun where the good guys are outnumbered was going to end like that, you haven't watched wrestling. So we did get to see who oh my God, you know the guy's name we talked about all at the beginning of the match?
Eddie King,
Jesus Christ, that's where my mind is.
Come on, partner.
If you were wondering who Eddie Kingston's replacement is, we found out it's Darby Allin. Somehow, the dude recovered from his broken foot and getting hit by a bus in like 2 days. And he looked good. He came in with his skateboard beating him. He makes sense. He was a former pillar. He's a pillar like Jack, so they have their thing. And if there's anyone who's going to end the EVPs versus Sting and Darby was a thing. So there's a whole lot of hate there. And he would hate the establishment. I think he's going to go fucking nuts in anarchy in the arena. So from a match standpoint, any thoughts on the Darby man?
No, he makes perfect sense for the points that you just made. I just wasn't expecting him to be fully healthy already.
Yeah, no, that was the shocking part. Now, this is I'm not playing doctor. This is just from some guy who's been hurt a lot in his life.
Mentally?
Injuries can
physically?
Physically. I've been hurt mentally and emotionally too, but bones are weird. You know, some of them heal really quickly because you wherever you broke it is in the ideal spot to break it. You'll be healthy in 4 to 6 weeks. Boom, you're up and running. Other times, you could shatter it. You could break it in the wrong spot. There's ligaments that could be with. So like maybe he just broke a good spot on his foot where he can. The timeline isn't crazy depending on where he broke it.
It's not a.
But he also got hit by a bus.
It's not a CM Punk foot injury. It's not a Mercedes foot injury.
No, like those were really bad. I guess wherever they did it is worse. Just from like, you know, I mostly just broke my arms. I messed up my knee badly, but I mostly just broke my arms. And there's just such different degrees, you know, on like how a break can go. So
mm-hmm.
I think he's a good fill-in. I wonder if he drives a bus in. That would be funny. So that was our Dynamite for... Oh, we're still on the same day, so I can use the calendar. May 15th. Any final thoughts?
No, I feel like we're really starting to ramp up now as we're, 2 weeks out from Double or Nothing? So, a week and a half out from Double or Nothing? So, I'm looking forward to seeing what they do with the go-homes for next week.
Yeah. Yeah, that's really the big play is what happens next week. I'm on board with you. So all right, well that's it. Joe.
Right.
When you're not here on a Wednesday,
mm-hmm.
where can we find you?
Well, apparently I'm at a lot of concerts lately, but other than that, occasionally on Saturdays, when we do Choir Cast, if we're both free and available. Ryan will talk about that later. But on social media, you can find me at _AsianJoe. And in my bio, you can find a link to my serial review blog, where I review know, novelty cereals that are will give you cavities for years. So feel free to peruse that whenever you want to.
Peruse it. You can find me here every Wednesday, like Joe. I'm on all our socials at Mark Order Pod. You can also follow my history blog here for history.com at underscore here for history. Now, normally, you could find me Saturday nights watching Collision on the Collidercast, where we would do a live watch along. I believe, as of right now, we're tentatively going to be canceling Saturdays. Just Saturdays. Just one, not the show. Joe has some stuff. I have some stuff. I'm not sure. The reason I said it's tentative, my stuff is more in flux. It may get lucky where I can don't get dragged into something, but I might. So if we do it, I will put it out there, but odds are we will probably not. Going to happen from time to time. Weekends are rough when you work a 9-to-5. There's the time, other time in your life where you can actually do something. So sometimes it gets in the way. I know you guys are devastated, just so well, devastated.
And you know, it's going to be pre-recorded, and it's a 3-hour show with Rampage again.
Oh yeah, no, I'm skipping it. I didn't realize it was pre-recorded. Yeah, I'm skipping it.
Yeah, I think they're. I feel like it's pre-recorded. I think they're recording it tomorrow.
No, Scott, it's not hockey season. I got a family thing. But if it was, yeah, I would absolutely be on the Flyers game. But yeah, I'm not watching a pre-recorded one. Well, I have other stuff to do. All right, so yeah, guys, I'm gonna call it not happening. All right, so let me go through the process of winding us down. I want to actually hold on. Thank you, Scott. Thank you, Big G. Thank you, Jesse. Thank you, Astrid. Thank you, anyone who 1LT, anyone else who stopped in. I may have forgot. Thank you for coming into the chat. It's always more fun when you guys are here to interact with us and have really good comments like you did tonight. You guys were on it. So I really appreciate that. So with that, now I'm going to go through my steps and I tell you all, because I just find this is my favorite bit where I walk through it. The overlay, music is still up, and play.
The Mark Order Podcast. We now return you to your regularly scheduled programming. Join the Mark Order Podcast.